Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having us, Leanne.
We've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of new things happening in our community. As of right now, everyone's focus is on the coronavirus, obviously the global pandemic. But here in Kentucky, we're taking a lot of steps to flatten the curve, as the governor likes to say. Tell me what's happening in Rowan County right now. As of the taping of this show, we don't have any viruses. We have no positive viruses as of yet.
That is correct. We are negative on any test at this time. And there has been some tests conducted. So I know a lot of people think the reason we don't have any positive tests is because there's none been conducted, but that's not true. They have been, I don't really know the number of tests, but I do know there have been. Some of them initially involved a ambulance crew, so I'm very well aware of those, but there are some being done. The testing, I think, is where everyone seems to be concentrated on. And the tests are for the folks that are really at risk. So if you're not one of those folks at risk and you don't feel well and you go to the hospital and want the test, you're probably not going to get one. They're probably going to send you home because most of the people will fight this off on their own. So the resources that are available for testing currently and the resources available for the treatment are limited. So you only want to treat and test the most vulnerable to the virus. So I know that sounds a little different than what the United States has always done, but this is a different type of virus that we have had. This is a once-in-a-generation virus that it's our challenge to deal with. The other generations have had other things they had to deal with, World War II, and plagues and flus, but this is our challenge, and we're going to have to step up to this challenge as Rowan Countyans and Kentuckians to overcome this challenge. So everyone really, truly, the self-distancing is the key to this. If you're not around it, you can't get it. So please, not for yourself, because most people think they're 9 feet tall and bulletproof. But for the ones that are not, those are the ones you're protecting. So please, if you don't need to be out, stay home. If you go to the store, you don't need to take all the kids, hopefully, and you don't need to be in there forever. But this is very serious. And again, it's our call to duty to step up to do this, and we need to do it.
I know that you have been in constant contact with state leadership, and they've been giving some instructions to the community leaders. Can you let us know what's kind of going on at the state level right now?
I can. I actually had a conference call this morning with the governor, all of his county judge executives. We get updates from the governor quite often, either through him himself or through his departments. I'll have to say that his leadership in this has been a tremendous help to the folks. You seem like you're disconnected at times and other times, but this time, you know, you feel like you are a part of the solution. So he's done a great job with that and bringing everybody together. But to answer your question on what's going on in county and city or county and state government, you know, all non-essential stuff has just been shut down. If it's not essential for life, if you will, it's just been closed. County government, you know, we have scaled back to we're about one per office deep, if you will. We're still quite capable of doing the necessary things in the county. Driver's license, tags, all of that stuff has been deferred, if you will, until after the crisis. All the license, professional license, they are actually working on that now to make sure that if you're a realtor, you have to renew your license. All of those will be pushed beyond this. The governor made that clear today that he was working on that. So we're operating. Our ambulance service is manned at 100%. We have the supplies we currently need on hand for what we may face in the near future. We constantly work every day, I do, working supplies to make sure, inventorying and looking and making sure that we're okay supplies-wise. You know, we have certainly hurt our economy, national and as well as local. We in the county government have we always pay attention to our budget, but particularly we're watching it now. A lot of our revenue is from occupational and payroll tax, and if no one is working, then that shuts that revenue stream off. So I'm looking at this constantly to see where we're going to have to make cuts, or if we're going to have to make cuts in order to keep the budget afloat and keep the necessity government functions going, ambulance, fire, all of those things that we have to keep going. And rest assured, we will keep those services going.
I noticed on Wednesday that Governor Beshear changed the unemployment to open it up to allow independent contractors and gig workers, people like that, to apply for unemployment, which is different than it has been in the past. How do you think that's going to affect our community?
Well, it's going to affect our community in a huge way because a little bit ago we got the information that St. Clair will be laying off a number of folks. There's been a number of layoffs already in the community and in our county, so it's definitely going to have a huge impact on us.
I'm surprised to hear that St. Clair is making layoffs in this time.
Well, you know, to be honest, it really shouldn't be a surprise. It's a surprise to me until I think about it. You know, they're essentially not doing the things that they would possibly be making money from. You know, they've stopped their elective surgery. They don't do, you know, so if they're not doing that, then their lab shut down. Essentially, I won't say it's shut down, but it's at a reduced rate. So all those things, you know, and we've been encouraging everybody, if you're not really sick, don't go to the doctor. So part of that is us asking people not to go to the doctor. So their traffic has slowed down considerably. Their patient load has slowed down considerably. And yes, if you think about it, it makes sense that they would have to reduce forces just because they just don't have that revenue stream coming into them.
I know that they have shifted to telehealth services as well with a lot of their doctor's offices.
They have, and again, that's part of us. You know, we're encouraging that to cut down on those personal contacts. So they're actually, you know, they are complying with our direction. And at the end of the day, it's really hurting their business. But fortunately for us, they are team players in this. And I think all around counties and all the businesses are doing a fantastic job of doing what they need to do to protect the vulnerable people in this county, in this region, actually, from this virus. So, you know, they're taking some pretty tough licks, but they're doing it. And that's what we all have to do is be able and willing to take those tough licks ourselves personally so that we will be protecting the ones that are at risk the most.
I know that in other communities there have been some bad actors and people who aren't following the recommendations of the CDC or the governor. Have we had any of those types of problems in Rowan County?
Leanne, I wouldn't say we've had any bad actors. I'm going to say we've had some people that probably wasn't really aware of what the rules were. I have been contacted. I've contacted those businesses. They have been very, very supportive. Once they know what the rules are, you know, they stop and cease what they were doing. It's just not been a problem for us. So the bad actors, you know, if you drove down the road and you see something happening, it was probably they just didn't know. But once we reached out to them, they complied with our request. And usually I don't normally do that. It's either the health department or the licensing individuals that hold the license for that business or the one that reaches out to them. But usually the complaints come to me and I reach out to those organizations. But they have, you know, I'll have to applaud the people around county. We we are looking out after those folks that are at risk, and I truly hope that we continue to do so. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to get through this, and we'll just be a stronger group of individuals when we do. We're going to learn a tremendous amount from this. I know there's always positive things comes from negatives. You know, we didn't realize that we could put a drop box out in front of the courthouse, if you will, and take soil samples for the farmers to make sure that they still are capable of fertilizing their fields. For the folks that want to drop off and renew their licenses, we're doing that through the drop box out front. So there's so many things that we have learned that we can do that we don't have to be sitting across the desk from each other. There's some things that's benefited from this. So we're going to take a lot away from it. We're going to learn a lot more things as we go along with this, because I don't think we're no way, you know, the governor talks about the light at the end of the tunnel, and we all see that light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't know what the distance is between us and that light.
I want you to have the opportunity to kind of brag a little bit on the community. I know there are a lot of different organizations that are doing a lot out there to not only protect the most vulnerable, but also to assist those people during this time.
Absolutely, and I'm telling you, you know, we live in absolutely the best community, and I say that probably every time we have this show. And, you know, even through the good times, you can see the great community we live in, but when you get in bad times, you really see the community we live in, because everyone is willing to help. Everyone. Someone gets, you know, they need a little food, or they need a little something to get from point A to point B. Always somebody willing to help all of the time, but now it's really come out. You know, in this time of need, folks are really pulling together. And I guess I shouldn't say pulling together, because we're supposed to be self-distancing. But at the end of the day, the community's really just stepped up. I mean, they've just stepped up at going above and beyond. And I couldn't be more prouder of the citizens around county.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Woofer, and Mr. Microphone. Tonight, the state of health matters is strong. We are growing and creating new information at the fastest pace since 1999. But we can do more. I'm sending Morehead State Public Radio a bold new plan to lower the cost of health matters to zero. It's the right thing to do. Ask your doctor if health matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Leanne.
We had a fiscal court meeting, even in the midst of this global pandemic. The business of the court is still ongoing, and you were able to meet in person, maybe for the last time for a little while, back on the 17th. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that happened during that meeting. One is you had someone from the District 9 Kentucky Transportation Cabinet that came and spoke. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what those updates were about?
Yes, they come each year and they present us with their plan for their portion of the flexible fund, and the flex fund is what is a percentage of gas tax that's returned back to the county roads and the state, and depending on how much the county gets is how what shape the state roads are in. So the better the state roads are shaped, then the more money we get in the county. And this time, last year we got $154,000. This year they brought us $266,000. So we're very, very happy with that. That's blacktop that we'll be able to put down when the springtime comes. And also their project, they also ask us about their project, and we agree with it or disagree, but most of the time they're right on what they're asking for. And they're going to repave 158, which they've had so much construction on, and they're going to smooth that up. And then they're going to put some guardrails up on Big Perry Road. So there's some good things comes when the state comes. They bring good things. So they did this time. So we're very pleased with that.
Some of the new business that was addressed during the meeting included the bond for the ambulance building. Let's talk a little bit about where that's going to be and what the plans, where you guys are in the process right now.
Well, in the process right now, we had the second reading on the ordinance passing the authorization for the bond. And so we have sent that information on to the Department of Local Government. Of course, we all know that things have slowed down at the Department of Local Government as well as everywhere else. So what we have to do is we'll have to have a hearing on that bond. And I was originally set up for the first April the 1st, but that's going to be postponed, I'm sure. So we're at that point. I've got architects designing how we're going to fit the ambulances into this property, and the property is at Moorhead, the old Moorhead Procurement Services building, the big warehouse out on American Legion Way. We're really excited. It's over 10 acres with a huge warehouse, and of course, eventually we will be, our plan is to move our ambulances out there as well as our road department and put everything under one roof and consolidate some of our stuff, and it'll be cheaper. It'll also be more beneficial for the workers and for the production.
Now, what is the bond amount?
We asked for a 3.5 on the bond, and we know that that's not going to be needed, but until we get numbers back from the architect, we wanted to be extremely high rather than to be low and have to go back through the process again. We're probably estimating, and honestly, it's probably with the cost of the property, the renovations and everything, probably around 2.5, maybe a little less than 2.5 million total. And the reason we're going in that direction to construct a new building with the new compliance requirements through code, we estimated it to be about $4.5 million, and that would be just the property we were building the ambulance service on. So this way, we're getting a whole lot more bang for the taxpayers' buck, and that we'll have room for expansion in the future. So this should take care of us for a number of years down the road, and cheaper.
Speaking of money, you also had the first reading of the annual budget for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's currently it's set. It'll be, I believe it's $15,154,000 is the budget. We've had the first reading on it. I prepare the budget. It's my budget until we go into fiscal court. And when we get into fiscal court on first reading, I present that to the magistrates, and it becomes property of the fiscal court at that time. So we didn't have any changes on it, actually. They were okay with the way the budget was submitted, and it's like I said, it's a little over $15 million budget. We know that with the times that we're facing right now, we will have to make some adjustments, and when we make adjustments, that will also affect that budget. But we're hoping for the DLG, the Finance Cabinet, to give us a okay on that budget, and then we'll have the second reading at the next fiscal court meeting, get it passed. And we're way ahead of schedule, and it won't go in effect, of course, until 1 July.
One of the other items on the agenda had to do with a resolution on continuity of county government. Tell us about why that's needed, especially right now.
You know, Leanne, we've been working on this for probably about 6 months, and it's something, it's odd that it would come up, but 6 months ago we were informed that we had to have continuity of government, which I had already established that when I first came here, coming out of the military. I kind of know you need a chain of command. But so we started working on this, and this is for pretty much every department in county government to include the judge's office. So the way I handle that just in my particular case, my continuity governor, of course, would be myself, and if something, I become incapacitated, then it will go to the next senior magistrate, which in this case would be Ray White, and then follow that down, and next would be Daryl Glover, Charlie Winkleman, and Rob Hamm. So, you know, that's just an example. But it's very important to have continuity of government, because we never know, and in my case, we don't know, you know, with the virus going on, who knows, I may get it. So we certainly need someone that has the experience, the ability to be able to step up and lead the county through whatever we happen to be in, and that goes for each of the departments. If the sheriff, for some reason, becomes incapacitated, then he needs a chief deputy that's going to be able to step up and take the reins. And if that's not possible, then we have to be three deep, to be exact. You can be three deep in continuity or five. So in most cases, it's about four is the average deep jail. Same way, all of the departments. And it's a great ideal. I mean, it's just normal and should be a way of business for everybody. And they have it even in the commercial world. They have that. It's just probably not written out.
We also discussed the agreement with the farmers market. Has there been a resolution to that discussion?
We did. We passed an agreement, if you will. It's between us, the farmers market. There's never been an agreement on how the use of the land would be. It was just in the deed that the farmers market, that property would be used for, when it was deeded from the state to the county, would be used for the farmers market and any other public events. So in the past, with no agreements, it's pretty much been the farmers market. And as everyone knows, they only have a certain window in the summertime, if you will, that they use that up until early fall. So the rest of the time it was sitting idle. Well, then no agreement in place, we weren't able to actually utilize that for anything else because it was more specifically for the farmers market. So now we have it in place that if we want to utilize it for something else, we can. It's just those days and dates that the farmers want to have their market, they have exclusive rights to it. It's really a workout good for the community as well as the farmers market folks. If we rent it, and I'm not saying we will, but if we rent it to other individuals, that will allow us to get a little bit of income that we can put back into that property, which will benefit the citizens as well as the farmers market group.
And then finally, I know that during this difficult time, the census is happening, and I got my notification in the mail and went online and filled that out. What are you hoping that the citizens of Brown County are going to do with their census?
Well, I hope while we got all this idle time that everybody gets it finished up and we don't actually have to send very many people out to knock on the doors. You know, if you'll do it online or mail it back in, it will just be so much simpler for everyone, and we won't have to put all these people out knocking on doors, waiting through mean dogs, and aggravating you while you think you're getting ready to eat dinner. Somebody's knocking on the door to take your census. It is extremely important to do this census, and it is extremely important to be accurate. And right now is a perfect example. The funding coming from this relief act for this virus will more than likely be tied to population. And we need the population to be right for this event and any other event that comes up. It's so important, and I can't stress that enough. It only takes 4 minutes, and it will absolutely benefit this county so much in schools, roads, disasters. But it's just got to be done, and we really got to get this right on the census. So let's everybody jump up, and let's get the census done, and let's be the lead county in the state of Kentucky on census completion.
Well, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Brown County Judge Executive Harry Clark, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Leanne, and please, everyone, social distancing is the key to this virus. Please, please keep your distance.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.